Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, it's Joe, and welcome to another episode of Test Talks. Today we'll be test talking with Marit Parijavi, a collaborative software specialist with emphasis on testing, all about mob testing, peer testing, exploratory testing, and more. Marit has a soft spot for hands-on testing and for helping teams grow and build successful projects and businesses. Marit shares a bunch of knowledge in this episode to help us think with a more agile, lean startup mindset. So get ready to learn all about all kinds of cool testing techniques in this episode. Check it out. Test Talks is sponsored by the fantastic folks at Sauce Labs, the cloud-based automated testing platform that eliminates the need to maintain your own Selenium grid and test infrastructure. Try it for free today. Visit testtalks.com and click on the Sign Up Now link under the homepage sponsor section. Hey, Marit, welcome to Test Talks.
It's great to be here.
Awesome. It's great to have you on the show. I've had you on my wish list for a little bit since I've spoken with Lisa Crispin, who brought up your name about, I think she was talking about mob testing. So I think this is probably something we'll touch on. But before we get into it, could you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
I've been doing all kinds of work, things testing since about 20 years ago. And I currently work with a small development team. There's about 9 developers and myself. I'm the only tester in my team. And we're working on a software product. So kind of like all around testing type of person. So I've been building a lot of communities and I have a lot of contacts and ideas from that side.
Awesome. Yeah. So you have a lot of opinions. You blog a lot on your blog. So there's probably a lot of different topics we'll touch on today. Probably some of them are going to be how we can work with devs on automation, exploratory testing, and production code.
Definitely. Those sound a lot like my topics.
Awesome. There is one thing, though, I just noticed recently is you blogged about micro skills. And I was just curious. It just piqued my interest. What are micro skills and how can we use them to better work with developers?
So micro skills is really something very new that I started thinking of. I've noticed some people, especially in the Agile conferences, talking about micro skills. So kind of like identifying the smallest possible things that you can learn and become good at instead of having these huge things. And I was having this session where we were improving basically our test automation for my team with one of the developers. And I was noticing that again, pairing up and having me drive, I was getting more and more comfortable again on kind of like drilling through the production code and seeing what is there behind the interfaces and kind of like finding out all kinds of things about the structure. So I kind of like realized that even that is something we don't talk about. It's like a mini skill, like knowing how to be comfortable around that. And I just started thinking about that. There's so many more of these kind of things that we don't even give credit for. And maybe we should start talking about them more. So it's really a new idea, more like that I'm starting to work with.
Awesome. It kind of reminds me, I'm not sure if it's the same thing as Janet Gregory brought up the term technically aware, being technically aware of all these other things. So I don't know if that's the same concept or not, but that's just something
It's probably similar, but in the sense that we could actually label the things that being technically aware means, so that we can kind of like acknowledge and give people chances of learning these very little skills so that they can kind of go forward in their, well, technical awareness things.
Awesome. And I think it's important because as you brought up, you're one tester on a team of 9 developers. And I'm old enough to remember where I was in part of an organization called QA. And we had, I don't know, 40, 50 QA people. But now I'm outside of sprint teams, but every sprint team has maybe 1 or 2 what they call testers or QA people and the rest of developers. So how did you make that transition? I'm not sure if you ever worked in a waterfall type environment, but that's something I think a lot of people are struggling with, even though Agile has been around since, what, 2000? It still seems this concept of having more developers than testers is really causing some sort of friction or misunderstanding of what an actual tester's role is now within Agile.
Yeah, actually, I have worked with the very typical waterfall teams. I've been usually moving around every 2 to 3 years and this whole idea of being a context-driven tester, it has meant for me, it has meant this curiosity of seeing different kinds of organizations and different kinds of contexts and trying to figure out what does good testing look in those organizations. So I've also been part of these teams of QA or testing professionals. And I really have started to favor much more this very close relationship with the developers and figuring out kind of like how do we, in the close relationship, how do we actually build the quality together? But from kind of like my background, I was a tester at first, then I became a test manager. And then I realized as a test manager in one of these very waterfall type of organizations that if I actually had the hands-on things that the testers do, I would have been able to help with major financial considerations in that organization. So kind of the empirical evidence that a real tester and hands-on tester has, it's so valuable that we actually give it too little credit. And it drove me back to being a tester. And I find that working side by side with the developers, that's really how you become even better at what you're doing.
Awesome. So I'm always curious to know how other testers handle this, though. So what I've seen teams struggle with is they always burden this one person with the quote unquote testing activities. And it's really frustrating because it's almost like they're stuck in these mini waterfalls where developers develop up to the, you know, they have a 2-week sprint, you know, 13 days of development. And then they give one day to this poor guy that, okay, you're in charge of testing. So how do we fix that? How do you handle that? I'm just curious to know how your typical experience is in this situation.
So at first I handled that by saying, when I joined the organization, I handled it by saying that I'm just one and there's a lot of the developers, so they can't actually expect any of the testing that they were doing to go for me. That there is this whole invisible part of testing that they have never seen, and that's what I will be doing. So I kind of like got the buy-in from the developers that they would still keep trying to test their best. And one of the gimmicks that I've been using with them is that sometimes I put things in production without testing them. And I tell them in advance, and I look at their faces when I say that I will do that. So kind of like being available when they ask me is one of the things, but also sometimes saying no to being available and just, you know, making them work on their own. That's been one of my things. And we've been still struggling a lot with all these kind of things. So that's kind of how we got into mob programming. That I was trying to find ways of bringing my team more together instead of having this, like, I will provide testing after the fact. So mobbing has been a way for us to learn about what the different people do. So it's really the mob programming as it's usually assumed. And kind of me then to instill the ideas that a tester would bring. And also, it's been a way for me to teach my developers, what do I actually do? So kind of showing what happens when I do exploratory testing.
Awesome. So there are a few things that I'd like to expand on. So I've covered this in previous episodes, but I'm just curious to get your take on what is mob programming or mob testing?
Well, mob programming is the idea that the whole team works on one computer. So there's just one input device. And we're taking turns to be the driver on the keyboard. And nothing goes on that computer without the other members of the team, the navigators, speaking up about it. So it's driven by this thing called strong style pairing, which is an idea that for an idea from my head, if I have an idea, to go onto the computer, it must go through someone else's hands. It's just, you know, taking turns on being on that computer. And mob testing, you were asking that. I think, I've been starting to use the word mob testing on specific mobbing sessions where we're focusing on either exploratory testing or creating test automation. So it's kind of like a subset. It's part of mob programming, really. Like you would do that kind of activities within mob programming. But I've been training-wise, especially in conferences, I've been teaching a lot of other testers on how to do the stuff that I do. And I find that mob testing is a great way of teaching others what actually goes on in a tester's head and making it visible what is the knowledge about testing that we have in the groups already.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely agree. I don't know if this is controversial. I think because there's so few testers on teams that developers need to contribute to testing. But then I'm always brought to some people say, no, that can never happen. They're two different mindsets and we're always different and that a developer can never do testing. So what are your thoughts on that? Can a developer do testing or do you think there are two completely different disciplines and never should the two ever meet?
There was actually an interesting experience about this. I was sitting with a developer, pairing with a developer on one new feature. At some point I had this practice where when the developer said he was done with the feature, he would come and demo it to me. And I would, you know, just by speaking up about things that I would like to try, I made them try it. So we were pairing this way. And in one of these particular sessions, the developer in question was sitting on the keyboard and he was just looking at me and saying like, you'd want me to test this, right? And he would click on the things that I would have wanted him to test without me saying a word. And I realized that remaining silent, he kept going on and going on and adding these bits and pieces, saying to me all the time, you would want me to test this. And in the end of that half an hour session, he had found many bugs without me saying a word. And I was asking him, like, what was different about me being there and me not being there? Because he could have tested it by himself as well. Like, he had all the skills and all the knowledge. Clearly, I just saw that. And he said that it just feels different when he thinks about me. And we suggested after that that maybe holding the space isn't a purpose I need to actually provide. Maybe there could be like a voodoo doll that looks like me that I can give to all of my team members. So for me, that particular experience was one of the moments, defining moments, when I realized that developers actually can test, but a lot of times we don't actually encourage them to take the time, change the perspective, and we even do a disservice in saying that they cannot do that because then they won't try because they will fail anyway.
What are some reasons around this? So do you think some developers don't even think of testing? They don't even want to think of testing because it's not part of the actual deliverable that they're being judged on within their particular sprint team?
Well, probably some people might think that way. But then again, a lot of developers, at least the ones that I've run into, they are really well aware that it comes back to them anyway. They know that it's not the QA people who will be there on weekends and on long nights to actually fix it. It's them. So they would actually like to do that. They feel they don't have the tools or the knowledge, and they feel they don't have the time. So this whole velocity-driven mindset, it often creates this feeling where you would be better if you were faster. And then the wishful thinking of maybe it works because I designed it to work, it kind of kicks in. And with my team, we really handle it a bit differently. We used to do Scrum. We used to have this velocity. And we actually were seeing the very same problems that you were talking about, kind of like being focused on the velocity and often finishing the features kind of like last moment before it was supposed to be done. And I was then struggling a lot more with getting the things tested. But for the last about 2.5 years, we've been doing continuous delivery. So we put things in production every day. The things that we put in production are typically very small. And when we started off with continuous delivery, it was a point when we had no automation whatsoever. And still, these small pieces that I would be exploring with the team, they worked a lot better. So at that point, we move into no estimates. We don't look at the velocity points at all anymore. Actually, we are delivering a lot more because our time isn't going into trying to figure out what's a random estimate, but into figuring out what would be the next smallest piece that we can deliver, including testing.
So you mentioned automation a few times. So once again, I'm just curious to know who handles automation in your team. I believe that developers should do automation. I feel it's a programming skill. It's a developer skill. I feel that they would be the ones that best create the code for automation. So I'm just curious to know what your thoughts on that.
Yeah, even though I'm a tester, I'm also a programmer. But having special skills on testing and having so many people without the special skills on testing in my team, we've had the approach where the developers in my team do most of the automation. But I'm often the one who drives that. So I'm kind of the one who helps them figure out time frames in which they could add unit tests that they never had. I'm usually the one who brings in people that show them how to do proper unit tests. I'm usually the person who introduces mobbing sessions on distributing our Selenium knowledge. So a lot of times my role is into kind of finding the next best thing that we can do in automation side. And especially in the mobbing sessions, I'm often part of that. So we've been doing mobbing on Selenium, adding our Selenium scripts together. And the interesting part was that not only two-thirds of my team learned to do Selenium after that, but I actually started doing more Selenium after that because, again, it gave me enough view into knowing what kind of things I could add there. And we've done exactly the same thing on approval tests, which is more close to unit tests. So kind of learning these basic skills, then it could be anyone who has time in the team that does the automation.
Absolutely. It's a great point. And once again, I've mentioned this on previous shows. I feel it's a tester almost is like shepherd nowadays, where they it's because they know pretty much the product from beginning to end, they tend to be able to guide people. Here are the best practices. Here's what we should be following. Here's how you do unit testing. So it's almost like it's a, where before people are saying, oh, QA is dead, tester is dead. To me, it's almost like this role has been elevated now as to this person that, because there's so few of us on the sprint team, it's up to us to really educate our teams and to really get everyone involved in the whole development lifecycle. And part of that is testing.
I really like this time. Like, my team called me a catalyst.
Nice.
They said, that's what I do. And I actually think a lot of testers do that kind of things. So they bring in ideas and they suggest the things that could be considered together as a team. They show the things that are broken and then they initiate the discussions on why does it keep getting broken again and again? And what could we as a team do for that kind of thing? So the whole idea of empirical evidence and the whole idea of kind of like having all these illusions that you need to identify and break, that's a big part of a tester identity. So it kind of comes very naturally to also identify the illusions related to the way we work and, you know, just open those discussions up so that together we can decide on what we would do about them.
Awesome. So you keep saying us as a team. It is really sounds like a whole team approach. Everyone's responsible on that team to deliver quality. How did you get your team to all embrace this? We all own it. We're all one team. We're all delivering quality here.
I would actually have to say that mob programming has been the key to that. The fact that we started doing mobbing once a week for practice purposes and started to actually see what the others were doing, what the others were struggling, and seeing the value of having them in the same room at the same time, it also helped us appreciate each other when we are not all in the one room. So mobbing has changed a lot of the culture in my team, and it's been really nice experience in many ways. And like for me as a tester, going into the whole mob programming mindset, the idea that I would take my 5 minutes on the keyboard and having to type something that I haven't done much before, like on the production code side, and not really knowing what's going on, that was a big fear of mine when we got started. But over time, I started kind of like appreciating the fact that I had special information that none of the others had. And there was, for example, one time when from a half a sentence, the guys were saying that I caught a bug that would have cost them probably weeks of work. And it all came from half a sentence without any egos bruised. You know, just people talking and realizing I have information that none of the others in the room had. So that appreciation of having those experiences together, that has really kind of come into the other parts of work, even when we work remotely. So it's a cultures change through working together. And I feel that mob programming is a great way of getting that kind of change coming in.
So I'd like to change gears a little bit and get to your thoughts on exploratory testing. I'm just curious to know, when we get to exploratory testing, isn't it too late to find a bug? And what I mean by that is I know a lot of companies have moved to a more behavior-driven development type approach where they try to shift the testing earlier and earlier in the development lifecycle. So as soon as they start developing requirements, they're having discussions, they're trying to hash out things before any code is written. But when we get to exploratory testing, I think I see the most value for my teams when they start doing exploratory testing. But it's almost disappointing to me because it's like, how come we didn't catch this earlier? So I know it's a loaded question or it's a long answer to that, but what are your thoughts on exploratory testing, why we need to do it, and what's the right way to do it?
So there's really two bits to this answer. First of all, I live in the world where we do continuous delivery, so we release daily. I can go and explore the version that is already in production, and there's a lot of information that I can find there that would then impact the features that we are still adding to the product. So for me, I look at the product as kind of as if it was my external imagination. And even when I'm trying to do BDD style things, I need the external imagination to feed all those ideas that go into the product next. And then the second part is that even when we actually do the BDD types of things, this is, has been a big stress of mine at some point, I feel that we're not perfect enough. We don't understand things well enough yet. We haven't learned enough yet to actually be complete with the things that we're coming up, the scenarios that we're coming up. And at the point when it has been built and you can see it as really part of the bigger scale, you still find out new information. So it's a great thing that we're trying our best to put things down before we start implementing so that we would actually be targeting the same thing. But there's still bound to be, in my experience, things that we find later on when we're exploring, when we're giving kind of the ideas that we early on came up with, when we're giving them time to sink in and kind of like go together with all the other experiences and ideas that we have.
Awesome. I think that's a great answer. So it sounds like, you know, can't really hash out everything in the beginning. It gets back to almost waterfall where we thought we could hash it out with requirements.
Yeah. And exploratory testing is a really great way of kind of like bringing some of the information available to the team that the real end users never give you. Like, for example, one of the things that I've been doing recently is that I've been running conference sessions on exploring an API, because there's this common misunderstanding that you need a GUI or you need a finished product somehow to explore. So I've started doing these sessions where we would take something without a GUI and we would explore it. And we would even take something that had really extensive unit tests and really extensive testing, like automated testing in general. And still, when we've been exploring that, we've been finding out issues about documentation. It was basically one of the problems was the documentation that existed wasn't copy-pastable. So it made users starting using that tool more difficult than it should be. We found issues related to having environments with several different kind of like third-party components, that there would be problems on installing from the typical channels. So that was one type of thing. And we found various problems about discoverability of the API, usability of the API, things that people wouldn't understand about it, and also information that would actually help people figure out that particular API easier. So a lot of the thinking that goes around exploratory testing, if we don't have that in our teams, we're relying on the end users to kind of come back to us with that feedback. And that might actually might not even happen.
So for some reason, I think of exploratory testing as after something's already developed, but it almost sounds like you're saying that we could think of exploratory testing even at the unit level. You could create some tests and explore it, how your code behaves to it. You could use it in integration testing when you say you have an API, but you don't have the front end yet. And then you can use it later on once you have all the components put together. So it's almost like it's not just after everything is done. You can use exploratory testing at almost every stage of development. Did I understand you correctly?
Definitely. And sometimes when I work with developers who do test-first development, I'm noticing that there's a lot of commonalities in how I think as an exploratory tester and how they think while they're doing TDD. But the difference often comes from TDD focusing on very small bits and pieces at a time, whereas I'm kind of already strategizing the next steps and risks around the product and things that might go wrong in a bigger scale and in the whole environment. So it's a very similar thing. And I have this one friend that I've been working with a lot. He tells that he's actually become better even at TDD and kind of like coming up with the ideas that he has, just, you know, by learning to do better exploratory testing. So there's definitely like a shared knowledge in those areas.
Awesome. So once again, I have 8 to 10 sprint teams. And what we've been doing lately, we have what we call a test fest at the end of a deliverable. Like after 4 months, we do a test fest, which is basically exploratory testing. Everyone jumps on and tests. How do you get your developers involved? Is it the same thing where you have this whole team spirit going on already? So exploratory testing is just another activity that the whole team participates in?
Well, at first, we also had these test fest type of sessions. And over time, the developers actually grew really bored with those because they came with whatever knowledge they already had. They spend very little time. So this whole idea of testing being learning in layers, they actually never really got to the layers. They were always all scratching the surface only. So we started doing those sessions more in the mob testing format, that we would actually all work on the same thing. And that way we could dig into skills and observations that would come from the team, but would be focused more on this one task only. When you feel you are either learning or contributing, you usually want to come back. And if you're just using your existing skills and not having any new insights from the other people that are participating, it might be harder than to kind of keep up the energy of going back to it.
So are there any books or resources you would recommend to a tester to learn about some of these topics that we've hit on so far?
There's a lot of articles about exploratory testing around. I naturally, of course, I write about this stuff a lot in my blog, so that's one place to go and look for things. But they are often more like, currently I'm thinking through this type of thing, so there's a lot of extra maybe towards that goal. On the book side, there's a couple of books on mob programming. One of them is by myself and Llewellyn Falco called Mob Programming Guidebook. It's available on LeanPub. It's more like a how to get started book. And then on the history and practicalities, there's another book by Woody Zuil that people should also look into.
I'd like to touch on a little bit on automation. And like I said, you're a tester, but you also are a developer. You have developer skills. So how do you handle automation within your team? How do you help your developers create better automation?
I've been very privileged in the sense that I get to go to a lot of conferences and I'm very connected with the community in general. I've had the chance of reading a lot and kind of finding the different routes. So I often, especially in open space conferences, I come back to my team with all these amazing ideas. The most recent one that I came back with is the idea of multi-locators. We're often struggling on Selenium side with the locators being brittle and the maintenance being difficult and having to go and fix things all the time, adding all the timeouts and stuff. And there seems to be really cool stuff looked at by Jeff Barsh. And there's some academic research on that side too, on kind of having these reusable ways of finding certain elements with different kinds of things. So this is definitely one of the things that I'm kind of bringing back to my team. And another thing that I've been recently really into is looking at some developers working on, they call it property-based testing or theory-based testing. But in my world of tester testing, we've always called them partial oracles. So the idea that we would have these like rules where when you are given any kind of rule, any A, you would do B, and you would have these like characteristics that are supposed to be true throughout the application or in particular area, and automating from that perspective, I think there's a lot of cool stuff that we can do together with the developers. So often I come with these ideas to my team and say, hey, I'd like to try this. And they come with the deeper developer skills and then say like, hey, this is how we could try things out.
I think a lot of people fail with automation because they just focus on end-to-end Selenium tests or even back in the day, WinRunner or QTP tests. And it never was a good experience because all those tests in the end tend to be brittle because they're end-to-end tests. And not everything needs to be an end-to-end test. How do you handle this? I know you've talked about API testing. Do you automate things underneath the covers or... like you said, you do encourage unit testing. Do you have a certain percentage of what you try to have your teams focus on for any sort of automation?
We are still, as a team, we're still getting started with the test automation side. So it has been a skill set that has been particularly difficult in my team for all of the developers. We've had maybe best experiences in my team with database checks, kind of like, you know, monitoring that the data stays in a state where it's supposed to be. So there's all kinds of rules on relationship of things and monitoring those both in the test environment and in the production environment and getting alerts. That's been the most valuable thing for us. So we've been really kind of like trying to figure out all these different kinds of things that we could try. We've tried approval testing on unit tests. So approval testing, it's this idea of a golden master. So instead of defining by asserts what are the things that you expect, you basically put the things that you are getting out of your code into a text file, and then you're looking through those. If those are the things that you expected, if you have manually tested the things are already in production, that's kind of like works good enough currently, and you can kind of add tests quite fast that way. So this whole approval, unit test, integration test, like finding the different places where we can put things and different technologies that will help us. That's what we've been doing a lot with my team.
So you've been mentioning that your team does continuous delivery. I guess one of my pet peeves is when people call automation checking, because to me that limits automation. I don't think of automation as just checking. I think of it more like Richard Bradshaw called automation and testing. So you have a set of data, you need to populate an environment so people can do testing, you automate that. You have to deliver something into production and need to move an application and build it automatically so you don't do it manually. That to me is automation. So how are you handling these types of activities for your continuous delivery? How are you able to deliver software every single day that's working? Do you use any sort of automation like Chef or Puppet to help you with those type of activities?
We work in the Microsoft environment, so TFS is giving us the basic tools, very similar in that sense. So that's the environment. So the whole building and getting the things deployed, that's all automated. And again, it's a bit of a preference whether you want to call that testing or development. And sometimes these lines are really, really blurry. So the whole, you mentioned this, the word checking that is kind of going around. I'm also having a bit of difficulties with that term. And for me, it was helpful to understand that James Bach and Michael Bolton, who are talking mostly about this checking aspect, that they understand that checking is the thing that the computer does. When the human creates the checks, that's already testing. So there's this weird distinction that it's the creation of checks is not checking. Just running of those checks is checking. So there's this big gap. But I'm also seeing this problem, especially since I work a lot with developers, that my colleague, Llewellyn Falco, he often says testing, and then he talks about specification, and he talks about feedback and regression and granularity. And I say testing, and those are not the words that I would use to describe exploratory testing. Or my point of view to testing. I would say it gives us guidance, or it gives us serendipity, or it gives us models, or it gives us understanding, deeper understanding. So we have testing, and we should find some way of making a difference between those. So instead of calling the other checking, I've come more into the idea of calling the other focusing on creating artifacts from testing, and the other one focusing on the performance and the exploration side. And the whole infrastructure, creating scripts that would help us do the collaboration better. I really don't care if it's development or testing. I just care it gets done.
Absolutely. Great point. Before we go, is there one piece of actual advice you can give someone to improve their either tester developer collaboration or their agile testing efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
There's one thing that I believe that everyone should do. And it is strong style pairing. So the idea that instead of mobbing, you would just find somebody with special skills that you don't have and say that you will take the keyboard and just be their hands. It's an amazing way of both creating the relationship and learning from that other person. And the way to contact me is, well, you can find me online on Twitter. I'm at Maaret P, M-A-A-R-E-T-P. And you can also find my email information, maret@iki.fi is the email that I use.
Thank you, Maret, for your all-around test automation awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we talked about in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/115. And while you're there, make sure to click on the Sign Up Now free button under the exclusive sponsor section to learn all about Sauce Labs' awesome products and services. And if this episode has helped you in any way, why not share it with a friend or coworker by pointing them over to testtalks.com or send them the links to the free Android and iOS app. The free app for both Android and iOS devices. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.